The image of Christ is written on our hearts. Will we let that image shine through? The Israelites in our first reading have an image written on their hearts too. It's the old covenant, which foreshadows Christ's image. A promised land, a just government, which will be eternally preserved. It's a beautiful image, a beautiful promise from God to this people. And during Jesus' time, everyone in Israel has a different opinion about how God will make this image a reality. The zealots think it'll be a military revolution to overthrow Rome. The Sadducees think that God will see and favor their faithful temple worship and bring about the kingdom in response. The Pharisees think these others aren't clever enough. They think God will use them to bring the kingdom about by little compromises with the powers of the world here and there. And the Essenes, they think God's going to bring the kingdom and it's best not to be around when he does. It's going to be like the end of the world. So they're waiting out in the desert for God to bring this about. But then, all around Israel, you've got another group, the everyday faithful people living in the middle of a Roman occupation, seemingly unremarkable, but convinced, absolutely convinced that there are people destined for more. Jesus sympathizes deeply with each group. He sees the goods they see, all of them, even Rome. He tells Pilate later that it was God the Father who gave him his powers of Roman governorship. But I think it's this last group, the everyday faithful people. There's something different. This is the group that's most open to Jesus' consolation, his direction. Jesus refers to them in another place as sheep without a shepherd. And because they have no shepherd, they're the ones most ready to respond to Jesus' voice. So as Jesus ministers in Israel, he's taking up this image of the old covenant, the image he knows is on every heart, and he's using it in a way that fulfills and transcends every element of this old promise. He's bringing a new image, a new covenant. But what does this new covenant look like? What is this new image he wants on every heart? It's right there. Right there. Even crucifixion doesn't convey it today. It's too conventional a term. We've heard it too many times, seen it too many times without really seeing it. There is a man who did nothing wrong his whole life. All he did was come to bring consolation and hope and peace and healing to an oppressed people waiting desperately for a savior. And the corrupt politicians, religious hypocrites, heretics, they all hate it. And they plot and they lie and they put that man to a violent death. Imagine the best people you know. Imagine them hated because of their goodness. And then imagine that the people who hate them for that goodness succeed in completely destroying them. And if we are followers of Christ, there's a road to that cross waiting for you and me. Jesus says in our gospel that he's troubled. I'm troubled. I'm troubled at that idea. Troubled along the way of being mocked for my Catholic Christian faith in Jesus. Troubled at the idea of being shunned as a cleric in the wake of all these scandals we know about. about. And I hear from family and friends who are troubled too, who feel like their jobs, cherished relationships are in danger if they express, even in the most loving, compassionate way, church teaching on this or that or the other political or social issue. I think this sounds familiar to all of us here. We're right to be troubled, to want to shrink from what troubles us this way. But sisters, brothers, it's for this time that God sends us. Should we ask him to save us from this hour? He's prepared us for this hour, preparing us now. He's come into our midst, written his name, his crucified image on the heart of his church. And the gates of the netherworld, for all their strength, will not prevail against it. Because the Lord who came to be crucified also came to rise to life again and invite all who follow him to share not only in that crucifixion, but in his rising. He invites us to share in his crucified and risen image and share it with the world today. And there is a hunger for that image in our world today. Don't we see all around us good people who say today, if one came along who I could trust, who I could give my whole heart to, I'd follow that one. Doesn't that sound like the ones most open to Christ's consolation when he came? And can't we trust that Jesus is waiting to be invited in, to answer all of those prayers? Our culture, so many people in this culture, even as we turn swiftly from religion in a way that I think would alarm many of us who remember a different kind of time, so many people still have images of Christ in their hearts, bits and pieces, fractured, tarnished, shattered, maybe smudged, but it's still Christ's image. These hearts can come to know him. He wants them to come to know him, and we Catholics share in a special way in that mission. When Jesus came to write his image on the hearts of human beings, he stayed until he could be sure that he had written it clearly, at least on the hearts of those he trusted the most. And those followers were the apostles. Their successors are still here. Archbishop Brzezinski here in town, he's one of their successors. He and his brother bishops, in communion with Pope Francis, they preserve what we hear as the deposit of faith. That's the image of Christ that Jesus came to give. And as we celebrate this Lent, as we gather in this church to celebrate the Eucharist, we gather to be strengthened to share in that mission. So as we enter this last stretch of Lent, let this be an invitation to dive again into that image of Christ in our hearts. Deepen our relationship with him. Dive into the scriptures. Go to him in prayer, in the Eucharist, in confession. Beg for more and more of that love to be poured in to us so that we can pour it out for those we encounter. Dive into the pastoral teaching. The teachings of the church. Maybe learn, like our Holy Father, Pope Francis, to better communicate the truth of all these teachings, not as burdens, but as balm. Each teaching of the church, balm for a world that needs healing. The world still has a need for this image of Christ. People who call it outdated, irrelevant, hateful, are in fact starving for that image to be written more fully on their hearts, to come to know our crucified and risen Lord. And we don't know how he'll do it, how he'll keep writing that image, but we know that he will. We know that he will, and that he wants us to help. The image of Christ is written on our hearts. Will we let that image shine through?
Yeah.